is precisely the same kind of luxury that allows us ourselves to distance ourselves from the people of Iraq today. We have to find a way of getting to this. And specifically to a whole bunch of, to all my Indian friends here, I'll say, you know, really, really examine this process. I've given many talks in which again and again a lot of Indian students come and tell me, see, I'm not part of the Sangh Parivar, but you know, I don't like what you do. You end up bashing India. No, I'm saying no, this is what we are is what we have to be proud of, that we have a critical tradition that has stood up to the test for centuries, and we must think about this as a continuation of that critical tradition which produces a certain kind of cosmopolitanism that is rare in the world. It is that which we must reach out for. If you, in the short term, if you take this as India bashing, as giving India a bad name, in 10 years, in 15 years, 20 years, you won't have an India to speak about with any degree of pride. I'm sorry. Who delivered the India once again in this election? The cities, the middle class overwhelmingly voted for the Hindu right wing. It was the poor people of India who voted against them this time. Fundamentally, if you look at how the coalition, the NDA coalition was broken, you'll see the vote coming from the poorer segments of population. And I think we must understand that, and we must give ourselves that critical tradition. Stand on the shoulders of those people, okay, and work our way through this. When we talk so openly, there's nothing better than an open discourse about both the good things about one society and the bad things about one society. That is true multiculturalism in a certain sense. When Madonna wears a bindi and a whole bunch of Hindutva groups carried out a campaign against that, I too had a problem with her wearing a bindi, but not because it was cultural appropriation, but because she doesn't stand shoulder to shoulder with us when we face racist attacks. That is solidarity, and if we are building structures of solidarity, we cannot build it without recognizing the nature of the problems involved. Thank you.
Okay, the moment you've been waiting for. Just a couple of ground rules. Limit your questions to a minute. And I'll call on people who haven't asked a question before calling on people a second time who have asked a question. And with that, let's open it up. Over there.
Many thanks to the professor for bringing all these findings that we have. I live in Salem, New Hampshire. And in 2000, while I did a job, I supported a school for girls. And I talked to IDIS and things that would help me. Then, a year later, I went there and visited it. They didn't seem to have gotten the funds. And it was a girls' school, and I felt very good that my mother, who
I thought I
did some justice to my friends.
So I'm
glad. In my experience, the money I gave to IDRF used this destination and was doing very good work.
Sure.
So at least that's my young man's sharing with you.
Yeah.
I don't know what other people have done and where you have received other.
From the idea of pages, from nowhere else, as I said. But let me just, wait a minute, let me just quickly ask you one more follow-up question.
Sure.
Where is the school and, you know, have you had any relationship in history with the school?
Yes, I come from the district of Ghaziabad, one town near Delhi.
Delhi, right.
This school is in Hapur, which is even a smaller town.
Right.
And it is a girls' school, and it was, when I went there the second time, the room was still being built and classes were going on. In the school, the roof was being put up.
All right. Now let me tell you how that happened.
There are two kinds of funds. You can go to any 501c3 in the United States, or let's say most of them, and you can. There are two kinds of funds if they are a funding organization. One is donor-directed funds, okay, and the other is discretionary funds. That is, they do general fund collection, and that the foundation itself, the fund itself, has a right to distribute it in the way they want to distribute. Your funds are clearly donor-directed. From 1995-96 to 2000-2001, our analysis shows that 25.2% of the money that IDRF disbursed were donor-directed, and 74.8% was what IDRF had full control over. The above 80% statistic that I quoted, when I said 80% of the money that IDRF disbursed went to RSS front organizations, I was talking about the money that they had full control over. That is a 4.6 million. The remaining just about 25% money, the number of RSS organizations supported in that 25% segment is little less than 10%. That's because people are saying, here's where the money should go. Okay? A lot of foundations across the country do this, especially when the money is going abroad. Okay? And so I'm glad the money that you gave found its way, but that is the precise mechanism, the donor-directed funds. The other part is IDRF own its, in its policy on donor-directed funds, says very clearly that it will not accept less than $1,000, with some exceptions it claims, for donor-directed funds. And it says that it will charge a levy of 7 to 10%, okay, which it says will be sent to Vanvasi Kalyan Ashrams. In your case, I'm not sure whether they took the money or not. That doesn't matter, but as per the stated policy, donor-directed funds, they're going to take a skim off 10% and send it to one of the worst organizations possible. Okay? I'm glad your money got to where it should go, where it should have gone to. I would absolutely encourage you to continue sending money to them as long as you know that it's going where you know where it's going, and it's not a hate politics fight.
Hand back there.
All the sale of the limits of Western India and the area of Dalit and Adivasi, that area is now more unrest.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, in a certain sense, I'm glad you're here, Sri Prakash. Sri Prakash is visiting from India, and we just happen to know that he is in the country, and so we asked him to come along for this talk. Sri Prakash is one of the really, really important people within the anti-nuclear work that's going on in India, and he works specifically in the tribal belts in Jharkhand, where lots of uranium mines, etc., are there, and where the people suffer because of the kind of uranium, the kind of radioactive extraction that goes on there with the minimal of safety provisions. His film, he's a kind of an independent filmmaker who's kind of emerged from within the community as a filmmaker. The film, The Buddha Weeps in Jaduguda, is probably one of the best testimonies of how Dalits and tribals are treated in India. But more specifically, I think, you know, there was the report after report in Gujarat, for instance, spoke about the involvement for the first time of Adivasis or tribals, indigenous peoples, in the Gujarat pogrom. It was unheard of. It was unheard of because for all through the history of both colonial India and independent India, Adivasis have always made a claim to a separate identity, which is not Hindu, which is not Muslim, which is not Christian, and they have been the focus of many religious communities who want to integrate them in. More specifically, the Christian community, there have been a lot of Christian missionary activity historically in the Adivasi communities, as well as Hindu missionaries in the more recent past, over the last 20 odd years. Okay. Now, how did they get integrated into the violence? And the answer to it is the structure of institutions that were systematically set up to spread a message of hate. And the reason why in some places like Gujarat it's more successful than in other places, let's say in a place like Bihar, maybe where it is less successful, is simply because of very specifics of how jati alignments or caste alignments work themselves out. In Gujarat, there has been a longer tradition, for instance, of Adivasis suffering or at the receiving end of the caste system, trying to find ways of integrating themselves into the caste system, and therefore a certain kind of openness to kind of negotiation with the Hindu right-wing groups. Because, for instance, if you look at even just Gujarat history, you'll find a few important political personalities coming from some of the caste groups that are at the upper ends of the caste, of the Adivasi spectrum, okay, who kind of position themselves as Kshatriyas or the or a warrior caste, and try to gain certain mileage within political society. But overall, one of the strategies, especially with the creation of the Bajrang Dal and with the Vanvasi Kalyan Ashrams and the Ekal Vidyalayas that the VHP has outlined, is to spread systematically within the Adivasi community. And this is, in a certain sense, you can see, you can go back to documents that the RSS has produced as to why this is important. Because, you know, after all these years, the total number of electoral votes that a right-wing party like the Bharatiya Janata Party, the BJP, manages to get, even at the height of its popularity, is in the range of the upper 20s. And in that kind of a context, if it and historically no single party in India has had stability as a single largest electoral party in holding a simple majority in parliament unless it crosses the threshold of around 37-38% of the popular vote. And there are clear RSS documents that say that we need to go after the Adivasis and we need to go after the Dalits as a vote bank to get them in. One of the consequences of what happened after Gujarat pogrom is, and there's another filmmaker by name Lalit Vachani who's just begun documenting it, as to how the people who are used as cannon fodder, basically the Dalits and the Adivasis, ended up being the people who got prosecuted. That is, the people who pulled the strings, all the upper caste minions of the BJP and the RSS, are getting away scot-free, while the few people who've landed in jail are largely from the underprivileged segments of society. They are basically cannon fodder, and they've been integrated. Just the passage I read to you, right? It's entirely in the Madhya Pradesh area in a tribal belt. Okay. And what they are doing is using relief money, development money, to go and spread Hinduism in a certain sense.
Now, Sriram, you should also feel free to jump in. Is this related to this? Or is it...
And Sri Prakash, you should also feel free to jump in. You know, I'm sure you have a store of knowledge.
No, I had a question, but yeah. Sure.
Well, if it's a question, then I think I want to ask you to wait.
You guys want to talk here, then we're adding here.
Sorry?
Yeah, just you guys want to talk here, then we're adding here.
Put your hands up.
No, stop, this time.
Put your hands up.
Right. Sriram has a question, so he's going to wait because there are people who had questions before. But he is one of the speakers, so I wanted to ask him to answer if he had an answer. The gentleman back there had his hand up pretty high, so I'm going to ask you to...
Because these are the organizations which have been awards from the UNESCO and everybody. I don't know the details about how much they contribute. But my question is, when you went to India, I mean, do you know how you people try to change the language? When you went to India,
I was in India when I was.
Okay, so when you went there, you said people changed you. How do you come to know your answers, BJP,
He said so? Yeah, when you threatened me, he said.
Okay, I mean, how many people threatened you?
I got threats from...
They said I'm a BJP, I'm an RSS person, I don't know.
One of them actually said that he was with the BSP, the others had the symbols that signify the RSS. Right. The saffron, Kandana over there.
Saffron is a Hindu cultural
Hindu flag. Is saffron.
Hindu flag and
saffron. How many people
do you know much about India? That's what my
knowledge is. I don't know. How many people told you? One, two, three, you want any of
them? If you would come to
ask all those questions, and then I'll answer.
You have
already
right?
Oh, that's not.
Shri Ram, Shri Ram, let them ask their questions.
No, let them ask.
Can I ask a question?
Can I actually just make a comment on the 11 organizations that were identified, right? I mean, I think, it proves my point once again, the way you said, what you put it out as. You said, I have no idea about how much money they see. I mean, you're a volunteer. You need to be, just a minute. You had your say, let me have my say now, okay? You said you work with a group, you put the petition out in support of them, and the least you can do is be responsible about it in terms of knowing how much money these 11 organizations that you wanted to highlight had. But let me actually, for instance, one of the organizations that you highlight, there are many examples I can pull, but let me pull one of them out. There's a particular way in which that petition tries to tar everything, you know, brush everything with one stroke. In the Foreign Exchange of Hate report, there are four categories under which we classify funds. One is RSS affiliate organizations. The second is... Wait a minute, let me just finish. Yeah. Second is non-RSS religious organizations, primarily Hindu. The third is secular organizations, and the fourth is organizations we were not able to establish any details about. As I said, more than 80% were RSS organizations. There were 7% organizations we could not establish a clear identity for. 2% were secular. The remaining were religious organizations which are Hindu but were not RSS. For instance, one of the organizations you put out in your petition. By the way, you make a mistake with that organization also. The name of the actual name of the organization is Arpana Research. You say Aparna Research Center. By the way, just a minute. Okay? Now that organization, Arpana Research, it claims, if you go to its mission statement, you said that it got an award for work on AIDS. Okay? From, I think, the World Health Organization or something like that. If you go to their website, if you go to any document that the Arpana Research Center has put out, the reason why it's a research center is in its mission statement, it says that its primary purpose is the propagation of spiritual values of Hinduism as outlined by the Mataji who gave the trust fund. And she lists the Upanishads and the other texts that needed to be spread. So that is the primary goal of the organization, right? AIDS work is one small, little, minuscule, almost unnoticed part of its work, and declassified it as a Hindu organization and specifically not as an RSS organization. Whereas in your petition, you choose to tar it as if we are calling all of these organizations the same thing. That is fundamentally disingenuous.
Yeah, I do want to give you a chance to respond briefly, so please stand and... Did you want to say something?
Because you should examine any organization that you fund. You should, and in any case, it's not even an issue, because it's not even an RSS organization. I'm glad you gave them money. How about $2,000 or whatever?
I want to ask the woman in front to ask first question.
Thank you. Yeah, you can ask me, no problem. Yeah, I will also, I mean, I'm taking that as much a comment which I can respond to also, so keep going. Why not?
Yeah.
other
correct. Facts.
And you'll be wrapping up soon?
We're talking about your mom's website, which they gave me a link to. Well, to make mention of that. They talk about a map that was drawn for a logo. Now, I don't know if you can work with computer graphics or what have you, but often, you know, we use small images and they get shrunk and compressed just to fit the graph. This is the graph.
It's a single image.
It's a single image. Yes, this was on the website for a modern project. Now,
No, no, go ahead, go ahead. Just finish what you're saying. I'll also.
I understand that.
Let her finish. Will you let her finish, please?
Some of us don't understand. Maybe some background is needed.
Okay, I'll give you the background.
One of being, you know, your saying or.
Please pass it on. Sure. All right. Let me. A lot of the points. May I know your name, please? Thanks, Bridget. Let me just clarify some of the points that Bridget brings up, which is got to do with, you know, Vijay Prashad and me. Vijay is one of the people who I have co-authored a lot of articles, especially on Hindutva with, as being, you know, this easy method of name-calling, right? What has a report which documents evidence from the sources of the very organizations that we're talking about and its veracity got to do with anybody's political position? Okay, if it was a rant that we had written, okay, if it was a rant that we had written with no substantial backing, with no referencing, okay, then I can understand if you bring up the political lineage as a method of analysis of why such a rant is written. But the report is a systematic documentation. There is not one emotional word in that whole report. It's a report that just says, here is a piece of data, here is another piece of data, you add this up, here's what you get. That's what the report does. Why use this kind of tarring method? Communist. You must realize that this is being done within the context of the United States, where communism is a bad word. It doesn't matter whether I am affiliated to any of the communist parties or not. As a matter of fact, just a minute, I'm answering that very question. Just keep, if you have any patience, then you'll know. As a matter of fact, be it for the record, just as a matter of just clarifying record as fact, that I've not been a member of any communist party ever in my life, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I don't have an analysis that may parallel what a lot of communists in the world say. Okay, just a matter of record. But the method is what is important, because the method is fascist, right? What do? You pick a target group. Okay, a target group, and then you say the best way to get these people is by tarring them with a brush which the powers that be in a particular societal space hate the most. Right? So, Bijoy Mathew, you don't need to verify any facts. As a matter of fact, the Hindu Unity Bajrang Dal site, the first thing that they put out about me, ran its course claiming I was a communist, I was this, I was that, I was this, I was a labor organizer, which I am, etc., etc., etc. Tried to position me as a commie, lefty, whatever nutcase. And then suddenly switched and started saying I'm a Christian evangelist. Bijoy Mathew is a Christian evangelist. And they produced a biodata of me. Unfortunately, it was some other Bijoy Mathew, who was a Presbyterian minister somewhere in the southern United States. Now, this is what I call fascism. When you put such blinkers on, that all that matters is you tar the person with any brush available. Right? It's the kind of thing that we saw happen in Nazi Germany. Okay? Wherein anything went to get the Jews. Okay? And that famous quote by, what's his name, the Christian priest, that's right, saying first they came for the Jews, you know, first they came for this, first they came for that, and in the end there was nobody left. And that's what I want to warn Indian students about. In the end there won't be anybody left except a group of fascists who have power. And that's what we need to protect ourselves against. The other thing which was mentioned, which was the Christmas coup, which they interpreted somehow as a Christian coup, okay, is at the Pacifica radio station in New York, WBAI. What Christmas coup refers to there is simply the fact that it happened on the Christmas Eve when they locked us all out. Okay, it was a bunch of corporate types who had gathered control over the WBA board and wanted to try and take the station over. And we fought that battle for 1 year, and I'm glad to announce we won the battle. No,
But Raghu has also had his hand up for a while, so I wanted to call on you.
You have released this report to expose IDRF.
That's right.
2 years back. What impact did this have on IDRF? We noticed that IDRF's fundraising has in fact gone up. So does that tell that the Indian American community in general is still supporting IDRF? And I mean, you did this. You during your report, you mentioned that multinational corporations have suspended funding IDRF, mm-hmm. which is not true anymore. All the mm-hmm. corporations have revoked. Mm-hmm. And in continuation with that question, we also read at the same time that IRS was legally probing IDRF. And mm-hmm. so this is still not true, or even government has probed. And the continuation question is, did any of the organizations that received funds from IDRF were ever banned or any legal action taken against them, either in US or in India, or even in Indian ruled states, even in Indian states which are ruled by communist parties, leftist parties, mm-hmm. and the parties that are opposed to right?
Okay.
Was there any action against any of IDRF supported NGOs?
Yes, I'll tell you about it in a minute. No, it depends on the length of the question. let me just respond to him. Hang on. Let me just respond to him, right?
But I want to talk to moderator.
Yes.
Just a request. Can you keep the answer of the question straightforward so that
they
can...
Yeah,
what is
the question?
No. I'm answering his question. Please keep quiet.
I need you to be concise, but he's... Look, there's...
I have control over this, not you. Okay? I have control over this. You organize yours. Okay. Let me answer that question.
Keep a professor from being wordy, so we'll ask him to do his best to be concise.
All right. Let me answer that question. One is the most interesting thing that's happened with IDRF post the Foreign Exchange of Hate report is that they took all the financial details off the website. Okay? They buried it. They took it away. Of course, we have it all archived, etc., etc. That's not a problem. So it's all, they took it away. Second, in their tax returns post the report, there's been only one tax return that's available. They have blanked out the name of the recipient organizations. Okay? More subterfuge. Okay? Now, the point simply is this. We are doing a piece of work which we will evaluate. Over a period of next 3 years, after the report, we'll evaluate the impact of the report. Don't worry about it. That's our job, not yours. Now, wait. Now, the second part to your answer is, the second part to his question. He had a continuation part to the question, and I will answer the continuation part as to whether there were any of the organizations that IDRF funded that were under government investigation and were banned. The Seva Bharati...
I would appreciate if people would not interrupt the speaker while he's speaking. We'll try not to interrupt you when you're asking questions, okay?
Can you use that one that he's out there? Because he's raising his voice like anything.
What are you doing? You're raising your voice? I'm raising the voice.
You did not say that one of the grand rules is that you could not raise your voice. And I think there's a lot of strong emotions here, and that's fine. Let's get the facts out. Let's get the opinions out.
Let me just finish with...
Do you want to hear the answer or not?
The organization that was banned for a period of time, which was an IDRF recipient, was Seva Bharati Madhya Pradesh, which was done because after a small communal riot in Madhya Pradesh, when the police started tracing the bomb manufacturing effects, they traced it to first the Seva Bharati, and then when the people from the Seva Bharati ran away, they traced the people who were Seva Bharati workers to Saraswati Shishu Mandir in the neighborhood, and that's where they arrested them. After which Digvijay Singh, a Congress chief minister, banned them, and then the law took its own course. In India, the law is extremely liberal about what organizations can do and what organizations can survive, and especially given political machinery, it takes its own course. I am not here to subject things to law. I am asking you a simple question. Here is a report, here is some data, challenge the data.
Raghu, 15 seconds for a comeback on that.
This lie, Seva Bharati in Madhya Pradesh was never banned or suspended. There was another organization which had Seva in its name.
No, it is.
I challenge Mr. Matthew on this point.
Don't worry.
Through Seva Bharati.
I can. Don't worry. I can do it. It's not a problem. It's okay. It's okay. It's there. The bomb records, the FIRs are there. The FIRs are there. The FIRs are there. The FIRs are there in the police record, saying it's RSS and Seva Bharati workers who were caught with the bomb making equipment.
Not suspended. That is the point. The point is
okay. How does it matter? I also very clearly said that the legal process that unfolds in India or in the United States doesn't really matter, because we put some data out. Whoa. We put some data out, challenge the damn data.
There's a number of people.
Has IDRF funded Seva Bharati?
Of course.
It has. Yes. Is Seva Bharati an RSS organization?
We don't give that.
Why? Exactly the point. That's exactly the point. That is exactly the point. That is the act of denial. Seva Bharati is a flagship RSS organization, and the claim here is, I don't know. I don't care. That is precisely the point.
There are a lot of people who would like to speak. I would like to call on three people at a time to allow you to say a little more in between. So I'm going to ask Mr. Old Navy, the guy in the gray sweater sitting in front of you, and the guy in the pinstripe shirt to eat your question.
Okay.
Briefly.
I'm from Ahmedabad, Gujarat. Mm-hmm. These two people talked about in their speech. Okay. He started his speech with Sri Ram. Okay. In riot, were there only Hindu? How can you say Sri Ram? Like, what do you want to prove? There are no Muslims in the riot? Like, Hindus fought with Hindu. Let me kill you, whatever. Okay, cut that out. Yeah. It's okay. See?
You know,
let him finish his question. Please, don't interrupt people.
Everything started with Gojra, right? 1,000 people attacked the train. Okay, they did that. Now, he's trying to say that the people in the train were militants. He said militants. Yeah. He said militants. Mm-hmm. And I have written it. He said militants.
Right.
Okay. Prove it is militants. One thing.
Let me finish. Let him finish. No.
I was in Ahmedabad. I fought for my Muslim friends. I got to the University of Technology. I had an undergrad in there. I fought for all my Muslim friends who were not coming to college because about the riot stuff. I don't know who did it, but whatever. I fought with our principal. We are out of the glasses. Just to make sure that all our Muslim friends are still with us, getting the same knowledge we have. One thing. Now, my dad's office is in the area of, on that side of the river, right? Muslim. My dad's office is there since 50 years. My grandpa's had his office. He's there since 50 years. We used to stay there. Okay, we used to stay there. I am an Ahmedabadi. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
One thing. Yeah.
Frame your question.
See, the thing is, you're trying to say that everything was planned. Every Hindu thing was planned. Okay. Now, let me say, what I say, my dad had a bike repairer in front of his place. Like, my dad has a shop, and his bike repairer in front of him. He's a Muslim. He's a very good friend of my father. Like, whenever there used to be some doubt of riot, or whatever, a riot used to come up, he used to always tell my father, just go at home. Because my father says, like, what, 12 kilometers from that place, and that is a Muslim majority. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every Muslim knew from before. They had all planned that this was going to happen. But because that guy was a very good friend of my father and he used to believe in us, because my grandpa and all had done lots for him, so he used to always help us. Even I know, he's like after 3 months of, 3 months, after February, like 3 months, I went to an area called Mitakali. Right? I went to fix my glasses, my car. On that day, there was no Muslim who was there. Because on the night of that day, every Muslim, there was a riot happened on the night of it. Okay, I stay in Andhra, I stay in satellite area, that is much farther than there, but it's near Juhapura. Juhapura, I don't know if you have heard from that,
mm-hmm.
But like it's been more than 4 or 5 months. I can count 60 nights, more than 60 nights when I'm not slept. We all guys of a place, all the ladies used to sleep in the house, but all guys in the apartment used to come down. Just stay awake, because we all got threats that Muslims are coming. And it was a terrible thing. You don't know what's happening. See, right now in Iraq, everyone knows that someone's going to kill us, someone's going to come for us. You don't know. You just read about some stuff. I mean, all of it. My college was out of it, but still, that's why lots of people are not able to come from those areas. That's why we did a strike, we did all stuff. But if my college was in the city, then I would have gone there. Why would I risk my life?
Mm-hmm.
I was not going there to find out. I didn't kill anybody.
Sure.
I'm like, they haven't stayed there. 22 years I've been in Ahmedabad. 22 years. Can you believe? The riots in 93, I think. I don't remember because I was very small. I used to stay in Nirangpura. There was an uncle who I treated like my father, because half of my day I used to spend in this place. Okay, now in that riot, one night he and his son were coming. They were on two different bikes. Like, his son came home, his father left his office after 5 minutes. It was from Gomti Pur he left from his office. Now he didn't come to home for 2 days. On the third day, we came to know that his body was cut down in pieces and found in gutter. Now who's going to answer for that? Was that Hindu who killed him? I'm saying that I cannot get a cockroach. It's tough for me to get a cockroach. Right? I'm not going to get a Muslim or whoever it is. It's simple. Mm-hmm. You cannot say anything about Gujarat without staying there. Is it fine?
Okay. Gentlemen, next to you and whoever the front row.
Yeah.
I'm not from IDR. I'm just an Indian. I endorse all the religions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I equally respect Christianity as well as Hinduism. They are spreading Hinduism. Now, according to you, their way of collecting points are wrong. Okay? But you cannot make a statement that they are funding terrorism. Like, it's not terrorism. It's a religious conversion. That's what they're spreading. You cannot put down in the term that it's terrorism. Because the other day I read an article written by that guy in No One Connected, which so many people who are not here, they have read that article, okay? And it said that it is funding terrorism in India. So that sends a message, that conveys a message to people that India is the country that has the terrorism sponsor and all that stuff. So that creates hatred here. I'm just defending my country, I'm just defending my everybody. I'm defending you, I'm defending
all the country. I understand.
You should not preach that. It is funding
terrorism. Okay. I respect your question and I will have things to say.
Right. And other thing is, when the earthquake happened in Gujarat, I was there in Ahmedabad, okay, and I was a part of semi-defense forces called National Cadet Corps. And I served there for 1 month, non-stop. And I saw that. You're saying RSS is doing this and that. It's not only doing that, it's doing so many good parts. What it did, like, they had so many people helping day in and day out, without food, water, there was scarcity of resources. Mm-hmm. They were helping out.
Sure.
It's bringing people together.
The whole Gujarat Parade.
This one person.
It's just bringing people together. It's about bringing people together.
I have heard that.
I have read in Indian newspapers that there are missionaries spreading Christianity. There are Jewish people spreading Hinduism. But everybody is doing that. You cannot call it terrorism. That's my.
I'll clarify, please.
Okay, gentlemen, the straight in the front, and then we'll have the Jewish one.
To this meeting from Bali. Whereas I want to compliment the organizer giving this wonderful form. I'm a Bali, a person with a deep hatred for a group of people, is given an unavailable opportunity to speak here for 90 minutes without any questions. The person who talks about the fact has said every single thing wrong to this august audience, starting linkage of the Nathuram Godse to the RSS or the foundation of the RSS, or RSS doesn't have an office or an office leader or a constitution. I challenge on every single issue. Being a responsible office bearer of HSS Hindu Parents Welcome in this country, I challenge to have an equal opportunity of 90 minutes to crash this bundle of lies. What this distinguished guest has said in this audience today. It is absolutely a lie that RSS doesn't have any office, any constitution, or any hierarchy in India. It is absolutely a lie that Hindutva is a political movement. The Supreme Court of India has defined Hindutva as a way of life. Nathuram Godse, who has been repeatedly accused to murder Mahatma Gandhi, has been clearly said in the Supreme Court verdict of India, had nothing to do with RSS. Mr. Bidu Matthew gave this very profound statement that Nathuram Godse was linked to RSS. Many people are sued by the organization in India, including some of the central ministers. I wish there was an opportunity of 90 minutes to argue with these facts which we are trying to misrepresent about an organization which is 80 years old. Today it is the largest voluntary organization in the world, and I am really, really shocked not to hear even a single positive activity of that organization. I invite every single member of this audience to participate in our activity. We have multiple activities in Boston area. Feel for yourself what we are, what we want to do. Our mission is Vishwa Dharma Prakashena Vishwa Shanti Parvartake. We want to create a wonderful world based on the Hindu ethos. And what does Hindu ethos mean? India as a nation has survived 10,000 years, have never ever attacked anywhere on the earth. We want to spread that message of peace and tranquility in the whole world. That is the only mission of RSS. Thank you.
Three questions. Let me respond to each of them in the order. First and foremost, to the friend who spoke about his experiences in Ahmedabad vis-a-vis the riots. I can only commend you for the humanity that you have, that you're part of and your family is part of, in terms of the kind of response you've had to these situations of riots. But I think what is important to do is, even just in the way you frame the question, I think what is critical is when we talk about any incident, not to tar a whole community with a one brush. It is for that reason that in my entire talk, I either use the phrase Hindu nationalism or Hindutva. For me, it is not something that represents all Hindus. One. Now, I think it's very, very important to talk about, you made a specific reference to what I said about Godhra. I said that a significant number of the people in that bogie were people probably returning from religious work, volunteer work in Ayodhya. There were definitely women and children who were killed. It was a gruesome incident. There's no question about it. What is... Wait a minute. You've had your say. Now you'll have to bear me out. What is important about the Godhra incident is that the whole thing that the state has positioned as a Muslim mob attacking it, burning the Essex bogey down, has come under severe doubt at this point because of the government's own forensic lab's work. The government forensic lab work clearly states that the fire that consumed the coach on the Sabarmati Express could not have been caused by from outside. They reenacted the whole thing. You should go and check out the forensic report. Just a minute. I heard you guys out. You up to you. Okay.
Yeah. Let him answer the question.
Okay. So the forensic report clearly puts some doubt over the government version of what happened. We will of course have to wait for the complete investigation to unfold to find out what really happened. How was it burnt, etc. But I want to point out that till that evidence comes in, okay, we are not sure. Okay, and just exactly the reason why I said the best thing to do when you think about the Gujarat genocide is to refer to the tons of reports that exist. There are reports that documented day by day. I think we just need to depend on the facts. Now question number two, which was about the fact that of tarring India. No, wait a minute, I'll finish all three and then we'll go to...
Just a line.
So, no,
just a line to respond.
No.
Okay, the second, which was about, you know, the reputation of India when it's cast like this. Please be very clear that, one, I did not say even once that we are talking about all of Hindus. Hindutva, just let me finish. Okay. I very clearly said it's Hindutva and Hindu nationalism and that there is specific institutional structure that promotes it. Right? Please, that is what is important. Now, if you say that all that is happening is religious conversion, that is not true. Because it is true, I for one don't give, don't have too much by way of respect for any institution that goes around trying to convert other people to their religion. I care less for Christian missionaries as much as any other religious missionaries. Okay, as far as I'm concerned, the most fundamental problem with that colonialism produced was also the presence of Christian missionaries in India. Okay, but at the same time, we must also know that there's a particular variety of Southern Baptist kind of Christianity that has entered India in the last two or three decades that is the cause for some of the tensions. Admit it, let's face it. But what Hindutva does, what the RSS and its cohort organizations do, which have come under numerous judicial reviews and scrutinies, is not just simply spread religion. There is a notion of a Hindu Rashtra, which excludes certain communities that are completely and integrally part of India. Pitrubhumi, the fundamental idea of a fatherland, which positions religious communities that have their quote-unquote Punya Bhumi, the holy land, outside of the framework of the Indian territorial state, are not, as per the words of Guru Golwalkar, the second Sarsanghchalak, the supreme leader of the RSS, people who could be treated as second-class citizens. There's a famous quote of Golwalkar in which he says that we must take from the German nation this idea of race pride. Okay, that is, he is all praise for Nazi Germany, and he says we must borrow from the German nation this idea of race pride, and then he enunciates the notion of Pitrubhumi and Punyabhumi. Okay, now wait, let me just finish. So, no, it is a specific thing in relation to the question.
We give him more latitude than we give the question asker.
Now the third part, which is the gentleman who is from the HSS who said what he said about the HSS. Okay, as I said, we have any number of judicial commissions that have implicated the RSS in violence. That is beyond, as far as I'm concerned, just looking through the history will tell you that. Nathuram Godse, Gopal Godse, Nathuram Godse's brother, has gone on record after he came out of jail, after serving what in India is a life imprisonment after the trial of Gandhi's murder, and said that my brother was part of the RSS and the RSS just denied it to save their skin. Okay? Now, the fact that he was closely connected, that there were a whole bunch of Hindu Mahasabha and RSS folks involved, is there. The peculiar part is that the Indian government did not file an appeal at the end of that case. Okay, because it was in that moment better to let the issue settle, maybe, or whatever forces that operated within the Indian government at that point did what they had to do to ensure that the appeal doesn't get filed. Now, as far as I, again, just watch how this is manipulated. In my whole speech today, I did not say, for instance, that the RSS does not have office bearers. I did not, for instance, say that I will tell you what I said. Okay, I did not at any point say that the RSS does not have a constitution. I said the RSS is not a registered charity. I said the RSS does not file taxes. I said that the RSS does not have a bank account that is traceable. Okay, that is what I said. The history of the constitution of the RSS is also the simple fact that the RSS did not have a constitution till a certain point in time after Gandhi's death. The Indian government forced the RSS to put out a constitution, and there you are. I'm telling you the real history, which is that the RSS produced a constitution only on the demand of...
In the next group. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. No, you may not. I actually have three more people in mind. The gentleman in the blue plaid shirt, you in the blue jacket, and you in the blue t-shirt in the back. That will be the three. We will then need to close. People who want to stay afterwards and talk, the room is open until 9, and you're welcome to do that, but that is...
On behalf of IDRF, once you're done.
Pardon me?
I want to make a statement on behalf of IDRF, once you're done with the key people.
Well, this is not an IDRF meeting. We are having a question and answer session. The meeting is over once these three questions are answered. We'll have a closing song, and that is it.
My question is to both of you, and as an official of UMass representative,
yes.
I have been here over 40 years, and this is the first time that I heard somebody spewing hatred and coming here and dividing a community. And my concern, I'm retired, was when I saw on the website Hinduism called a terrorist, that when I was very close to walking, driving, the people watching whoever that person was calling, who's a terrorist, they can take a hot shot. There are a lot of people who are not very well. So our concern is more from safety.
Okay.
I'm not for ITR, whatever, I don't even know the name, whatever. And I'm not any religious person either. However, you made it so one-sided. Let me give you an example. I have no problem with somebody going and giving Ganeshas to anybody, or Christian classes. They are not generating hatred by giving grace out to people. On the same time, when you speak very innocently, everybody around India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, they have right wingers. But you forgot very conveniently the Pakistan. You can
have an answer. It doesn't matter.
You press Hindu religion. And again, I'm not a religious person because I don't belong to any of BHP. You know how you press it?
Go ahead.
You gave Thailand that Ram and Sita were brother sisters. Very innocent, people don't even realize. But you press the whole religion, Hindu religion. And that's why I'm disappointed giving a platform to people like these who still hate their division. Next. In society, we are more concerned about safety outside of there, not here what you are preaching. And that's what I did. I'm saying that I'm preaching to you. But my question is again to you, as officials. Right. As a citizen of Massachusetts, any magistrate, that we should be very careful who we bring and give a platform to hatred and this type of injustice. Okay, now before I question, I need a feedback from Mr. D.G. Matthews. Mm-hmm. You talk about a minister who went there to attend the chief minister meeting. May I? Do you know his name?
Ben Pandya.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let me introduce myself. Who are the killer of my
life? I don't know. I said that the law, the course of law will have to figure out who it is. I didn't say it. I very specifically said, I very specifically said who killed him will have to be found out. Because there is gang politics involved, there is religious politics involved, all sorts of politics involved. Who actually killed him will have to be found out.
Fine. That's the question.
Okay. Now, let me introduce myself. I'm Sachin Kansara. I came here after Gayak Sepet. I am a citizen of the state of Gujarat in India. Mm-hmm. I grew up in that state. I felt the tremors of the earthquake that you talk, and I saw all the riots that you are talking. Mm-hmm. So, if your reports are based on some human rights watch or anything, well, for me, nothing matters more than what I live in there and I watch. Nothing matters more than that. Okay. So, what I saw there, the riots were out of willingness of certain group of people from both the sides that they, because they have certain political or maybe any other advantage. Yeah. So this is what the riots were all about. Now what you are saying is Hindus were killed Muslims.
Hindutvavadis killed.
Kill Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, well, what actual thing was people were dividing other people to fight against each other. Now you can't separate the mainstream people as Hindus and Muslims. The people who carried out those violence, where you can categorize them as terrorists, and let me tell you, terrorists does not have any religion. It does not belong to any religion. It belongs to hate, violence, and separate people. They do not belong to any religion. Let me emphasize that. And for the suffering of Muslim or minority community that you are talking, everyone suffered. All communities suffered. Just like us. During the course of violence, we used to, just like him, we used to wake up all the night and we had all like sticks and everything in our hands, waiting outside.
We had no
someone will attack us. So it's not only Muslims suffered. Everyone suffered. So don't categorize that as Muslims suffered and Hindu killed them. Yes.
Hindutvavadis.
Okay. Hindutvavadis. Okay. That's true.
Muslimvadis.
Okay. Okay. So now, your point is about Godhra. You said Godhra was not planned.
I didn't say that. I again said we have to wait for what happens with the investigation.
Why don't you let him finish his...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No,
I'd like you to wrap it up.
All right. I'd like to get this feedback before I...
Right, but I'd like to have a couple of other people speak too, so...
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. You referred that wait and watch thing with reference to the bogey bun. And that was burned from outside or not, that's what you referred to when you said you have great involved. Okay. First thing, you said it was organized. Well, it was not. Based on my experience. Because I had friends in that city and who were witness of that, it was all well planned by Muslims. Okay, the Godhra one. And the riots were just outraged from their violence that was organized by Muslim mob. You said the riots were planned systematically by Hindu Pavadis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, well, let me tell you, it was all raids that came out against a specific community after that event. I do not try to justify any violence, the killing of 58 people. I condemn that, and killing of all the innocent victims of the virus, I condemn that. That was not acceptable.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sri Ram told that Hindu are really rich, I quote, really rich, and Muslim, I quote, really poor. I never saw that. Come on, I lived 21 years, more than 21 years of my life. Well, if a guy is poor and is Muslim, then you can't generalize that.
You all right, can
and wind up? Yeah. Yeah, because Sri Ram grew up in Bangalore.
Sit down, don't have
what? Okay, what the history do you have of Gujarat? Do you know anything about Gujarat?
I never protested or anything
about Gujarat. Right, so when you look at what segment of time for which you were there, you cannot generalize things that Hindus are killing Muslims.
Okay, I think you've made that point a couple of times. Can you wrap it up now?
I was not there for what? Yes.
Let him finish. Let him finish.
I was not there. I just want to be complete.
Okay.
You said I was not there for what?
You were not there before the riots.
I was
right. Okay, so you saw all that you saw in a specific segment of time. You did not know anything about Gujarati past, what happened, and you say Hindus are rich, Muslims are poor, and Muslims are Hindus are killing Muslims. Okay, so you got to know something before you can comment on something. Okay, and
is this the last point?
Okay. And I would like him to also explain. He said, quote, why do you believe, or no, Muslims are not killing Hindus in Kashmir?
Oh God, when
I quoted. Okay.
No, he didn't say that. He did not say that. That's okay. He did not say that in any case. It's okay. Are you, please finish your question.
Okay, are you done?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Third question. All right. Very quickly.
Actually, with your indulgence, I think it would be appropriate to allow the spokesperson for the IDRF to speak very briefly, 1 to 2 minutes, if you want to take
sure.
that time. It seems appropriate. But I am going to be watching my watch because I'm conscious that that's getting... No, I want to ask, you're in the audience. Speak.
Go ahead.
So, can you go to your mind, please?
No, 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 go ahead, he can speak from
the audience. He can speak from the audience.
So, I'm a volunteer of IDRF, volunteer of content, and I'm in the great hospital for the last 7 or 8 years, and I'm reporting on his report of...
What is your name?
My name is Abhay Benam. And I also supplied data for this report that was prepared by these five people, and she said it was a front of IDRF, from Ramesh Kumar and...
Mm-hmm.
Of these, I have heard of Ramesh Rao and Narayan Kumar. Narayan Kumar is someone who supports from the IDRF budget. And Ramesh Rao has been doing a checking from Nate. Now, just want to say a couple of things. I'm impressed by his oratory skills. But the venom that you see out here, I'm going to ignore the rest of the IDRF because I'm concerned about IDRF. And I spend my precious time, I work for startups, and I spend whatever the time. My pin dots and with IDRF. Now, to repeat the same point that the gentleman here made, that 2 years ago, this Matthew and his team came with this report. And the companies have spoken, donors have spoken, people at large have spoken, government of US government, Justice Department, IRS, everybody has spoken. Then the next thing is, not a single donor has commented on supporting his website. That I've been duped by IDF, which is what supporting his website is. Not a single donor has come to IDF and said that, what happened to my money? What it did? We told you on the website, in our magic, we put every single little thing on the website, and which these people make use of, and they say, I have to show your organization, which doesn't even give it details. My third point, back to what the gentleman said here, is that IDRF fundraising has gone up. It's still not too late for management to learn the lesson. And
backtrack Vicharas. Whatever ideological debate he has against the Hindu movement, he should fight that battle and not make ideas of clipboard for that, just because money is important. My other point here is that I have this book with me, Let the Facts Speak. And again, I mentioned, and Mr. Matthews should take note of this, these 6 people here, you can do any amount of research, don't Google it. Okay? Find out about these people. Devi Mehra, Chitra Raman, Subrata Ramaswamy, never heard of IRS before. Do the research. Don't just throw a number on that. That, please, come to me. I'm available 24 hours. That's my passion for ideas. Come to me, talk to me, talk to any ideas for volunteer. And in the Boston area, I will challenge Matthew and his group and anybody who's working with them to counter what IDRF is doing here. And last 2 years after that, IDRF cricket tournament, $10,000 raised, 500 people participate, Bodhi, so many festivals. What are people saying? Are they paying attention to fringe elements like Matthew and his group? Avoiding the radical leftist who wants to politicize everything and divide the society, as opposed to we are doing a constructive work. We don't have time and argue with these people forever and ever and ever. I challenge these people again. I request every member of this esteemed audience to come take a look at this book, talk to us. There's another CD which covers the work of IDRF in Gujarat. If you have any questions, please come talk to us. Thank you very much. Thank you.
I want to start by going to what the person who spoke second said, which is that people of violence. No, I have a chance to respond to the three issues raised.
I'm going to ask Biju, Karthik wants to speak briefly. Sriram may want to respond since he was asked questions, and I want to say something briefly in closing since I was asked a question as well. And then we'll be done.
All right. So I want to start with.
Pardon me?
Is there any time limit? Now that you people are asking. No, absolutely. I'm sorry about it, but I want to make sure how long it's going to go on.
We're
going to
play this by ear.
All right. The person who spoke second in this question, when he said that people of such violence as those who perpetrate riots and genocide do not belong to any religion, I could not endorse you more, and that's the reason why specifically the RSS, I claim, cannot represent all Hindus. As far as the question about the gentleman who asked about, you know, me, the question of connecting with the phrase Hindu terrorism as something that was mentioned in one of the articles published or something like that in the UMass Lowell area. Now, I do completely agree with you that the notion of word terrorism is a loaded term, which is loaded precisely because of the way the American state has used it. Okay? And therefore, we do need to be careful about that and how we use that term. Okay? And if there is something that we certainly the intent of anything that I've said up here, for instance, was not to hurt anybody on a campus like this. As a matter of fact, it is precisely against that sentiment that I said what I said. But the point about using a word like terrorism, there's a whole bunch of words that can be used to describe violence. Terrorism has become one that has enormous symbolic value and therefore not just gets used but gets overused and sometimes misused. In this specific case, in the case of organized systematic violence, okay, there may be some ground to calling it Hindu terrorism, and I think if I remember right, what Karthik did after he heard about it, that this might cause other kinds of incidents on a campus like this, was he clarified it as something that's happening in India. Okay, in his next thing that he published. In as much as that was done, I think it was responsible behavior. Now, as far as the second point, and frankly, in a certain sense, that whole issue is not connected to this debate. The second issue that you raised me of insulting Hinduism by bringing up the one of the many renditions of the Ramayana. It exists out there. We don't gain anything by denying that that thing exists. It is there. There are many stories. For instance, standard versions. Wait, just a minute. I heard you out. Now you have no choice but to listen me out. Okay? No.
Then you can
leave if you want to, but I heard you out. I heard you out. You have now you have to hear me out. Now, as far as I am concerned, the numerous renditions of the Ramayana. For instance, there are ones in which Bali Raja, okay, is there are versions within Dalit communities where Bali Raja, one of the people who is not dealt with as very favorably in the Ramayana, emerges as a hero. That's fine. I think that is the richness of India. That is the richness of precisely this Hindu tradition that we talk about. That it produces multiple interpretations. I think what is happening under Hindutva is precisely the opposite. The effort to semiticize Hinduism, to make Hinduism look like Christianity and Islam, with a single God figure, with a single Godhead. And that, if we are really interested in preserving the richness of Hinduism, I think we need to resist that. Okay? And finally, to the comment made by the representative of the IDRF, all I can say is that to date, I started my talk, the specific segment in the IDRF, with some facts. 80% and above of the funds collected between 1995-96 and 2000-2001 went to RSS affiliates. All nine of the sample organizations listed in their tax exemption filing in which they claim to be a secular organizations are RSS organizations. It's fascinating. A whole bunch of noise is made, but certain straightforward, large, clearly supported arguments are never taken up. Thank you.
Karthik, do you want to speak briefly?
Okay. Yeah. So the thing that was made was in the article which I published, I used the term Hindu terrorism, and people expressed concern about it, some of which were legitimate, and I later modified my sentence as Hindu terrorism against minorities in India. This is what the article I published states, and IDRF funding of Hindu terrorism against minorities in India.
Let him answer it.
And there was a concern of security. Let me ask you all this. How many times do you think of security when you use the term Islamic terrorism? Are there not people from Middle Eastern countries? How many of you think of their security? Do you think of their security? Huh? How many of you use it?
Okay.
And
you gonna hear his answer or not?
And if
no, well then leave.
There have been human rights.
This is an opportunity to talk and to listen, not to do both at the same time. Let's hear Karthik.
There have been Human Rights Watch reports. There have been Human Rights Watch reports, independent tribunals, confirming, documenting, in evidence, infirstand reports, Sri Ram was an emergency relief worker, confirming the genocide and the participation of the RSS in genocide against minorities. But people here deny the genocide against Muslims. And what's been happening is, if it's offensive, you can leave, my friend. I'm sorry. And what's been happening, as Biju has pointed out, is the groups in India, the tribals and others, are being consolidated. And one of the persons is Swami Ashimananji. He's been funded, and he was on the IDRF web page until I published my report, after which they removed it. You can go check it out. It's archived on the internet. And he's been consolidating the tribals. He's been involved in it. And the tribals were involved in the genocide in Gujarat. And there have been other incidents, like Seva Bharati it's a hardcore RSS organization, and they deny RSS involvement in anything. All the judicial commissions in India since independence, all the independent judicial inquiries have pointed out to the RSS. And they say, oh, we are not being arrested, no judicial action. Well, to me, it only increases my concern that there has been no action. In fascism in Germany, no action was taken until something terrible happened. And it only raises my concern. And if 2,000 minorities were killed, and supposing take an analogy where 2,000 Muslims were killed, 2,000 Hindus were killed by Islamic extremists, each and every person in this room who raised the noise would immediately use the term Islamic terrorism. If you use the term Islamic terrorism in such circumstances, the term Hindu terrorism equally applies. Apply the same standards to yourself which you would use to others. Thank you very much.
Sri Ram, do you want to say anything brief in response to the points that were raised? Okay. We're done. I'm going to make a closing statement. People who wish to stay and talk are welcome to stay and talk. There's a lot of questions asked. We're done. No, okay. I give you 15 seconds because I'm about to answer another question.
There was an email conversation between you and Dr. Rao in which you agreed to it that the number of people killed were not 2,000, it was 1,000, out of which 800 or 700 were Muslims. Is that correct? Did you agree to it? You did your own research and you agreed to it that the number of people killed was not 2,000, 1,000, out of which 300 or 400 were Hindus, 800 or 700 were Muslims.
Are you done with your question? Are you done with your question? Are you done with your question?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Yes, I did admit that in an email exchange. I realized later that in reading about it, I didn't realize that the riots had continued for 3.5 months. And I was looking at an early number of the figure killed, and I believe that the 2,000 figure is more correct for later on. I did want to speak to the question of why are we sponsoring somebody to spew hate. I hate racism, I hate fascism, I hate discrimination, and I think the whole debate here is whether there is an organization that itself is dedicated to promoting hate and acting on hate in India. That's the debate. So it's not a question of whether it's okay to talk about hatred or not. It's a question of who are the haters, who are the true haters here, and who are the people who are trying to stop hate in action in India. That's what the debate is. I'm glad we had a vigorous debate. I think that's what universities are for. I hope this debate will continue. I think it's exciting that we sort of open this question. It's not going to be ended today. And I thank all of you for being patient. A lot of you have been here since 6 o'clock or even earlier. If you want to stay a while and talk, I don't know if our speakers are interested in staying and talking, but certainly people who are interested are willing to stay and chat. The room is reserved till 9. So thanks again, and let's give a round of applause to everybody who's participated tonight.